if it's just happened, and they're having a hard time processing it. Holy Spirit of God, we pray that you descend on them right now and bring peace to their mind, bring wisdom to their soul. Father, breathe life into those dead areas of their existence. And Lord, I pray that they will find peace in you today. Lord, if there's somebody here who doesn't know you, they know about you, they probably can answer some questions, but they don't know you personally. I pray you would awaken faith in them today to believe. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, good morning. Grace Kids, where are you? Grace Kids, the Stone, we love them. The Vances have them again. They are in great hands. They're in great hands because Delaney has them. See? That is why. That is why. Hear more and more. Isn't it great to have all these kids? Amen. It is awesome. We want more. Bring more. Yeah, we want more. That is awesome. Sign up a healthy church. Well, five years ago when we started Grace, we decided to do a couple things. And one of the things that you see that we decided to do, one is we decided to be a place with simple messaging. Because I have a simple mind and I can't give multiple messages, we decided from a messaging standpoint to be really simple. And so I forget things. Anybody forget things here? Am I the only one that forgets things? Right. So because I forget things, we decided to put our messaging on banners. And so you see our messaging on these banners around. And these banners are characteristics of God, which we believe should be characteristics of us. If you're a believer here today, if you know Christ personally, now if you know about Jesus, good for you. That's better than not knowing about him. But if you don't know him personally, then you might not get some of this. But if you know him personally today, you're going to get it. That when you know Christ personally, you're called to become more like him. And you're called to become more like the Father. That's eventually our goal and our aim. It doesn't mean you're going to get there perfectly. I'm not there perfectly. But it does mean we try to break progress every single week, right? Progress is the key. And so these banners remind us of what we're to be about. First, obviously, grace. This is our church's name. It's what we're about. There's a verse tag to it, Ephesians 2:8, for it's by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. And if you went on to verse 9, it said, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we just believe that God's grace, the reason why you know the Lord today is because God loved you and cared about you and gave you what you could not earn for yourself. He is a gracious God. Next is faith, back there in the back. We just believe that God calls us to take steps of faith and to live by faith. Scripture tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we just believe that we have to be people of faith. And so from time to time throughout the year, we'll challenge you to do things that take faith because we believe that sort of mimics the heart of God and it follows a line with Scripture. Then we have hope. We believe hope is the best attitude to have in a hopeless world. And because of Christ, we have a certainty. Not a hope like it's defined by the 20th century dictionary, but hope as it's defined biblically, which means a certainty and an absolute reality. We have a sure, absolute certainty that if we know Christ, we get to live forever with him when we die. Amen? We just know that. Now, we also love. We want to do all things loving. We want to love you when nobody else will. When all of your friends walk out on you, we're ready to walk in. When your family walks out on you, we're ready to walk in. When everyone has thrown you to the side and say, you're no good, you're worthless, you've done it, you can't recover, we're the kind of people that are going to walk in. And we know that that is part of God's love, and that's how God's love has lived out in us. And we're going to look at that a little bit more in detail today, too. But this year, we're going to add two more banners that we're going to pray become realities in our life, that become characteristics in our life, that become values that we live by. One is fellowship. We're going to get to that later on. We're not going to talk about that for a few months, but we're going to get to that. But we're starting on generosity. And now, stop. I know where some of you just went in your mind. It's going to be all about the money. It's all about the money. All those preachers want is my money. If you have a nice boat, I'll take that too. But okay, so kidding, I get seasick. So it's not all about the money. Generosity is a quality of life. You know, you can be generous with all kinds of things. You can be generous with your words. You can be generous with your time. You can be generous with your attitude. You can be generous with your space. Generosity is a whole life thing. So we're going to talk over the next several weeks about generosity. And really, truly, you might be surprised at how easy it is to be incredibly generous. You can be generous with a lot of things. Now, there's no doubt money is part of that, but it's not all of that by any means. You know, sometimes the most generous thing you can do is sit next to someone. You can suspend your time, push the pause button on your busy life, and go sit next to someone and be their friend. You know, maybe sometimes the most generous thing you can do is not send somebody a check for $100 or a gift card to Chili's, but actually pick up the phone and call them and give them some of yourself. Sometimes the most generous thing you do can't be bought. It has to be given. So we're going to talk about generosity, but here's what I know, because I've done this for a few years, and I'm sort of hard-headed, and if I'm hard-headed, I know just statistically there is a possibility, maybe a vague possibility, a small chance that somebody in here is hard-headed too. Right? All right, so I know that perhaps because I'm a human and I'm hard-headed, it's possible since you're a human, you may or may not be hard-headed. And so because I'm hard-headed, for me to really grab hold of something and say, I want to integrate this into my life, I want this to really be part of me, I have to be proven that it's real. I'm just not going to do it because some guy stands up and says it. Nah, not going to do it. I have to be proven. It's be proven that it is real and that it is true. Now, here's what I'm going to say to you today. Generosity is at the very core of who God is. God, at the very core of his nature, is a generous God. And if I can prove that to you today, okay, hang with me, wake up, don't go to sleep, right? If I can prove it to you today that God is a generous God, that God is a giver, will you at least open up the possibility in your heart and mind to become a generous person and a giver with your life and everything God's trusted to you? If I can prove that to you today, will you at least be open to the Holy Spirit speaking to your life, the Holy Spirit guiding your life, the Holy Spirit awakening within your life, the possibility and the reality that generosity just might be the open door to the blessed life you've always wanted? Would you be open to understanding that generosity could be the door that swings open and gives you the life that you've always dreamed of? Now, if you are, then walk with me through this journey. So we're going to look at several things. Now, there's a lot of things we could look at. I mean, the scripture is replete with the reality that God is a giver. I focused it in on just a few because we just simply don't have time. So the first thing we're going to look at is that God is a giver of life. If you have your Bibles or devices, turn to Romans 4:17. And the Bible says this. The Bible says, as it is written, I have made you father. Now, this is Paul recounting God's situation with Abraham, so that's sort of what's going on. Paul is saying, now as it is written, God said, I have made you, Abraham, the father of many nations, in the presence of God, right, in whom you believed. Now, who is this God? This is the God who has breathed life into death and caused all things to come into existence, even though they did not exist. Now, listen to this. It is God who has given breath to the people you like being around. He also gave breath to the people you don't like. God's given breath to us. You have life because of God. Anybody at all thrilled with that? Because you guys are looking at me like, so? Okay, so here's our deal. Okay, if we're going to go down that road, I'm cool with that. So here's what we're going to do. Every one of these you don't like, let's just go ahead and ask God to take from you today. Okay? God is the giver of life, of all things. Do you have someone in your life that you love? God gives them life. You have someone in your life that blesses you? It's because God's given them life. God is the giver of life, and he is the giver of life of all things. That means my dog Layla. It does? God is the giver of life. The scripture says to all things he speaks into existence, even those things that are not. So if you have a pet that you love, yes, God gave that pet life. And I don't care if y'all look at me like I'm crazy, because I love my dog. And God gives her life. God gives your kids life. God gives your parents life. God gives your neighbors life. God is a giver of life. Do you deserve it? What have you done to influence the creator of the universe to bless you with life? How have you added one thing to his character and his nature in such a way that he now owes you life? What have you done to the God who never changes, who's perfectly complete, who is holy in all of his ways? What have you done to add to him that he owes you life? What have you done that he owes you life? The answer is nothing. Don't look on your neighbor's paper. Right? The answer is nothing. Why does he do it? Because at the very core of God is generosity. God loves to give. God is a giver. And he gives you life. And he gives the people around you life. He gives the things you love life. God is a giver. And he loves giving to you. And he gives you life. The second thing that we have is in James 1:5. Turn with me if you're there, if you have your devices or your Bibles. James 1:5, it says this. If you lack, any of you who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously to all without reproach. He'll hold nothing back, and it will be given to him. But ask in faith, not doubting. For if you ask in doubt, you don't receive, because an unstable man is unstable in all his ways, a double-minded man. So here's the deal. God gives wisdom. Wisdom. Now, all of you in here are arguably smarter than me. Again, that bar is set pretty low, way down here. So don't get uppity. Doesn't mean a whole lot, right? So all of you are probably smarter than me. But here's what I know about everyone in this room. You have been in a situation, in a circumstance where you didn't have the answer. You have. You've been backed into a corner in a life situation, and you didn't know which way to go. You had in front of you 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or maybe even 10 options, and you weren't sure which one is best. And if you're a believer in here, this is what you did. At some point, now you may have listened to Dr. Phil, you may have called all your friends, you may have texted everyone you know. You may have gotten to this point after a long process of distraction, but eventually you came to the point where you prayed. You came to the point where you reached out to God and you said, Lord, I am in this situation, and I've got all these options in front of me, and I absolutely do not know which is best. I don't know. And this is what you've said. I need your wisdom. I need your wisdom. I need you to speak to me. I need your wisdom. The Bible says that God is a giver to all people, this great wisdom. All you have to do is ask. Wait a minute. Really? Just ask? Just ask. And then, listen. The wisdom of the cosmos, are you with me? The wisdom of the ages, the wisdom of the God who created everything that is, the wisdom of all that can be is available to you for the asking. In other words, you don't have to make dumb decisions. Some of you should be standing up shouting right now because I know your track record. Right? So you don't have to make dumb decisions. You can say to the Lord, Lord, I need your wisdom, and he'll give it. All the wisdom of the cosmos is available to you for the asking. Why? Because at the core of God is generosity. God is a generous God. He's a giving God. He loves you, and he gives to you, and he wants to give to you, and he wants to give generously to you because God is a giver. He wants to give you wisdom. Now, it is possible that some of you have already determined I am going to talk about money at least for about 3 minutes today. And so you've already said, wait a minute, Terry, here's the deal. I make my own money. I get up every day. I put my britches on. I go to work. I work hard. I come home. And I'm not real sure God has anything to do with that. I'm the one who crawls under that roof. I'm the one who digs that ditch. I'm the one who teaches those kids. God bless them all and raise their parents. You know, anyway, won't go down that. I'm the one that goes into. I'm the one that does it. And the best I can reckon, God's not one thing to do with that. I'm glad you said that. Would you please turn to Deuteronomy 8? Would you please just go to Deuteronomy 8 for me right now? Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. The Bible says this. Now you shall remember the Lord your God. Now, Moses is writing this. They're collecting for the temple. They're taking this big offering, and they're gathering up everything, and you know they're trying to get stuff together to do a big project. So that's the context. And so here's what it says, you shall remember the Lord your God. Why? For it is he, God, look at this, who gives you the power to make wealth. God gives you the power to make wealth. Now, some of you in this room are really smart, and you have really great jobs. I want to ask you something. Did you design your own genetic code? Did you, before you were born, pre-born state, whatever that looks like, that's weird, didn't even think about. But anyway, so before you were born, did you have enough influence with the Lord to design your genetic code? Did you have any influence with God? Say, okay, Lord, I know I'm this smart, and I'm this smart, and I'm this smart. So were you able to go before the Lord, design your genetic code, so you were able to learn or to work or to have the skills to do what you did? Anybody in this room have that kind of sway with the Lord? Because if you do, I need you praying for me. I need you praying for me. right? Not one, not me, not you, had the ability to manipulate how we're formed and shaped together to work, to make wealth, and to influence culture and society. Not one of us had that ability. No one in this room, not me. Why? Because Scripture says it is God who has given you the ability to make wealth and to work. You're here today and you're working hard and you're making wealth. Man, I'm thrilled for you. But it is God to whom you must be thankful. For it is He who's given you the ability to do that. You don't believe me? You're one aneurysm away from being in a box up here and us all telling lies about you. You're one aneurysm away. You're one heart attack away from being so debilitated that you can't work. If you really truly believe that God's had nothing to do with your industry, with your work, with your productivity, if you really firmly believe that you've done this on your own, then ask God to get out of your business. It is God, Scripture tells us, who has given you the ability to work and to make wealth. Why would God do that? Why would God bless you with what He's blessed you with? Why would God do that to you? Because at the core of God is generosity. He is a generous God, and He loves you, and He's a giver God, and He gives to you. Because God is a generous giver. That's why. Well, another thing that happens, another way God gives, is He gives us victory over death. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, the Bible says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord." And this is talking about the victory over death. Death doesn't win. Anybody happy with that one? I mean, death doesn't win. Do you know people who have passed away? Do you have loved ones who passed away? Many of you know, I'll talk about this till God calls me home. My mom died, you know, about 7 years ago. I've not gotten over it. If I think too long about it, I'll start crying right now. And I'm not ashamed of that because I love my mama. Guys, are you with me on that? Don't leave me hanging. Come on. Are you mama's boy? Of course you are. I am. I love my mama. And if I think about it long, I'll sit up here and cry. But here's what I know. When my mother breathed her last breath up there in North Alabama, she opened her eyes in heaven, and she has victory over death because of the person of Jesus Christ. Yeah, absolutely. Amen. Amen. She's not dead. She changed addresses. That's all that happened. We have victory because of Christ. Now, why would God do that? Well, look, we're sinners, and we deserve death, and we deserve hell, and we deserve all that. Why would God do it? Because at the core of God, there's generosity. And He is a giver, and He loves you, and He is generous, and He is a giver. He is a giver, and He is generous, and He loves you. He gives you victory over the grave and over death. Because God is generous, and He's a giver, and He loves you. God also does something unbelievably kind and gracious and compassionate. In the book of Job, verse 35:10, the Bible says that God gives us songs in the night. The Bible says this, but no one says, "Where is God my maker?" But no one would say that. Why? Because it is He who gives us songs in the night. In the dark night of your soul, when you think everyone's walked out on you, when as best you can reckon and tell and add up, your entire known existence has turned against you. Everybody you know has turned against you. Situations couldn't get worse. They've turned against you. Maybe your health has turned against you. Maybe your job situation has turned against you. The best you can reckon is the darkest night of your soul, and there's nowhere for you to turn and nothing that you can do. Everyone has left you. You could sit in a room of 1,000 people. Listen to me. You could sit in a room of 1,000 people and you're all alone. You can sleep in the bed next to someone with a pet at your feet and kids in the house, but yet you're all alone. It's the darkest night of your soul. But the Bible says that it's in that time that God gives songs in the night. See, mathematics is the language of the mind, but music is the language of the soul. And so here's what we know. It's in those desperate, dark times that God will bring to your mind and to your heart songs that have shaped you spiritually if you're a believer here today. I'll tell you a few of my songs. Now, some of you are going to laugh, but some of us who've had a few birthdays will understand these songs. One of the songs I sing in the dark night of my soul, and I don't sing it so anyone can hear me, so hush. But it's a sweet little song. We used to sing it a lot because 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Anybody remember that old song? I sing A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. That great Luther hymn about standing firm when the world is against you. God is bigger than that. I sing some other songs that I'm not going to mention because y'all always make fun of me when I do. But God gives you a song in the night when you think everything is gone, when all hope is lost, when you don't think you can crawl out of the bed in the morning because depression has engulfed you and stripped you of any hope. When you're there, the Bible says it is God who gives you songs in the night. Well, now why would he do that? Because at the core of God is generosity. God is a giving God. God gives to you songs in the night because he loves you. God is generous and God is a giver. And because God is a giver, he is generous. And he gives you at the most desperate times in your life songs in the night for you to sing that comfort you, that bless you, that raise your spirit and speak to hope. God gives you songs in the night. John 4:6 says God gives us another thing which is so amazing and important here, and that is he gives us grace. And James 4:6, the Bible says, but he gives more grace. He says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God gives more grace, unmerited favor. When you look in the mirror and you can't decide if you should scream, shout, cuss, or quit, God gives you grace. When you make choices that end you up down a road that you never wanted to go down, God gives you grace. When you react in relational situations and sever relationships and you're not sure they can ever be healed again or mended again, God gives you grace. When everything you've hoped for and dreamed for seems to come crashing down around you and you don't know how you're going to take another step, hey, God gives you grace. When you're laying in bed and the weight of your choices and sin weigh you down so much that you can't move. You just can't move. And you humbly go before the Lord and say, God, I am a sinner, and I'm in need of a Savior. The Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God gives you grace. A couple mornings ago, I was up early. And early for me is 3:30. Just having some sleeping issues, and so I was up, and I was just praying, and I'd come to my wit's end on a couple of issues. And I just, as honestly as I could pray, I just prayed, Lord, I'm done with this. I can't make this happen. I need your grace. You know what's amazing? When you come to the end of yourself, God picks up the ball and runs. And God begins to give grace. Why does God do that? Because at the very core of God, God is generous. Because God is generous, he's a giver. And when you give, you represent a generosity of spirit and of life. God is a giver. God is generous. Amen. The last thing I'd share with you is the most important. God gave you his son. In John chapter 3, verse 16, y'all know it. We overlook it because it's so familiar. You know the old saying, familiarity breeds contempt? It's pretty true. This is probably the most disrespected verse in all the Bible because it's the most known and familiar. But it is most profound. Because here's what the Bible says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God gave his Son. Why? Because at the very core, God is generosity. And when you're generous, you're a giver. And God is a giver and God is generous. And because God is giver and God is generous, he gave his Son. And he gave his Son for you. And he gave his Son for me. Because he's a generous God. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What does that mean? Because God isn't fixed in time. He's transcendent and above time, and all time is always present before him. He's never not known something. He's never not had to see something play out. That's not how God is. Because God is transcendent and above all of that, listen, he knew every sin you would commit. He saw it. He didn't know it. He saw it played out before him because he is transcendent and above time. And because he is transcendent and above time, all time is always present before him. And so because of that, he didn't only know your sin, he saw your sin. Oh, that's a bad scene. Anybody want your sins thrown up on a screen? Can I get a witness? Anybody? Anybody volunteering for us to, like, you know, film your life and put up? Right? No! God saw them all. God saw them all. They were all played out and ever-present before him. And in that situation, while that was true, the scripture says, Christ died for you. God loved you because he's a generous God. And because he's a generous God, he's a giver. And when you're a giver, you display the characteristic of generosity. God is a generous God. And even though you were sinning and God saw it all played out, he loved you so much that he gave. He loved you so much that he gave. Now I want to ask you two questions and we're done. Don't answer them out loud. Don't raise a hand. I would never want to embarrass you. But I just want to ask you very seriously. Are you convinced, even just a little bit, that God is a giver God? That God is a generous God? Are you convinced just a little bit? Because I promise you, we could go on for hours. If you gave me just a couple minutes, and my wife knows this is true, give me 5 minutes, I can talk for 5 hours. So give me just a few more minutes. And I can get us another hour or two of where God gives and show you where God gives. Are you just a little bit convinced that God is a giver? That at the core and the very nature of God is generosity, and that God is a giver? If you are, then here's question two. Will you be open over the next few weeks to let the Holy Spirit speak to your life about generosity and about giving? It's not just about money. Come on now, that's petty, guys. Don't do that. God gave you a son. You owe him everything you have. Man, it's just sort of true. Amen. It's way beyond that. It's far more expansive than that. The conversation is way more detailed than that. The Bible says this. The Bible says generosity is the open door to the blessed life. Here's how it says it. Now, I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. That's a life statement. Now, here's what you need to know. I'm not going to be teaching a prosperity gospel. In other words, if you give God $10, he gives you 50 back. I don't know how that math works. I don't get that. I don't know what that is. But here's what I do know. If you will become a generous person in your spirit and in your life, if this will begin to define you, based upon the scriptures there, 2 Corinthians 9, 6, just the few scriptures we looked at here that show us that generosity is at the heart of God. It is who he's about. It is part of what he's about. He's a generous, giving God. So you combine those together. Here's what I know, and I know without a fact. If you will get this, this will open the door to a blessed life, a life that God dumps blessings into. Now, what will those blessings be? I don't know. When will they come? I don't know. Will they be? I don't know. I don't know. All I know is the Bible's true. And all I know is as we grow more to be like Jesus and more to be like our Heavenly Father, it opens the portals of blessings into our life. And I know that generosity is at the heart of God. God's a giver and he's generous. And because he's generous, he's a giver. That is just absolutely true. And because of that, I know if we'll take this step, God will bless you. He will bless our church. He will bless this community in ways that are unimaginable. So I'm going to ask you to do something. We're going to be praying. We're going to be done. Make a commitment to be here over the next several weeks. Make a commitment to bring someone with you over these next several weeks. here's what, you have my word. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to get up here and change who I am to, you know, beat the pulpit and get in people's pocket and tase them if they don't give and all that. I mean, we're not going to do that, right? We're not doing that. But we're going to speak the Bible lovingly, graciously, and kindly to everyone who comes. And if you know someone who needs to have a blessed life, bring them, because generosity is the open door to a blessed life. It just is. That's how it works, because God is a giver. God is full of generosity. And listen, when you're generous, you're a giver. And if you're a giver, that means you're generous. That's just what it means. I love you. God loves you. And he wants to bless your life in unbelievable ways. I hope you'll have the courage to walk with us. Pray with me. Well, Father, thank you. Thank you for calling us to a generous life. Thank you for calling us to a blessed life. Thank you for calling us, Lord, to a life that imitates you, Jesus, and you, our Heavenly Father and Holy Spirit. Thank you for your mission that empowers us to live that way. Thank you for your presence in our life. And Father, I pray for each person here that they will be willing to take steps of generosity and understand that it is a way of life. It's not just an event. It's not one little area. It's how you want to define us as your people. Because you, God, are a generous God. And because you give, we want to give. Because you have been so generous to us, we want to be so generous to everyone around us, because you're that kind of God. Help us, Father, take these steps. Lord, if there's someone here who doesn't know you, and this has just been, you know, blah, 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 blah stuff, Lord, I pray you would awaken them to faith today. Holy Spirit, awaken their dead spirit unto life. Cause them to believe. Reach down into their heart and awaken faith as only you can do. I want to ask you, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, is there someone here today that doesn't know the Lord? You know about the Lord, but you don't know him personally. I wonder if right now you would just pray this. Just pray, Lord, it's me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for letting me pray. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe on the third day you resurrected from the grave. I don't understand all that. I don't know how it all happened. I just believe it happened. You're putting faith in me now, Lord, to believe, so I believe it happened. Forgive me of my sins as I confess you as Lord of my life. Jesus, I believe you resurrected. I believe you're a Lord. I believe you're a King. Please forgive me and be my Savior. If you prayed that prayer or something like that prayer for the first time today, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. One, two, three. Just slip up your hand. Anybody in this room? Anybody? Okay? The rest of you. I wonder if you would just right now make a commitment to be here every week and to bring someone with you. Yeah, reach out. This is an act of generosity. You're going to be generous with your time. You're going to be generous with your words. You're going to be generous with your influence in other people's lives. Show some generosity to others and invite them to be here. If you know someone looking for a blessed life, a life that is defined by purpose and meaning and direction, not by temporary happiness, that goes away. But if you really know somebody looking for that, would you make a commitment to invite them this week? Just make that commitment between you and the Lord. Well, Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your kindness, and thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Ushers, if you would come forward quickly, please. Ushers, come on forward. As the ushers are coming forward, want to remind you of just a couple things. One, if you're a guest with us, please fill out this card, drop it in the offering plate. If you don't have time to do that, there are boxes at every door you exit. You can put these in one of the boxes. We would love to have a record of your visit. Also, please, 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 please give us your prayer request. Please, please, please give us your prayer request. If you need us to pray for you, this is how we know how to pray for you. Please write it out. Put it in the offering plate as it passes. If you don't have time to write it out, put it in the offering plate. Again, the boxes are a good spot. You can put your prayer request. We want to pray for you. I pray through the prayer list this morning. I do it through the week. It's how I know to pray for you. So please, please fill out your prayer request so we can pray for you. We would love to do that, to be sure. We give here at Grace for three reasons. Generosity is one, but we give because the gospel is the most important message in the world. Jesus is Lord, and here's what we know, that where your treasure goes, your heart goes. If you put more money into your golf clubs, you're going to love your golf clubs more than whatever else. And so it's just how it works. So as you put money toward the kingdom, you begin to love the kingdom more. And so we give you that opportunity to shift your heart, shift the direction of your life every single week. And we want you to do that. So let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for today. Now I pray we give with a generous spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, Ryan, come on up.
Amen. A couple of quick things. You notice, again, some of us are wearing our green life group shirts. Life groups are happening tonight. If you're like, dude, I don't know what those are. It is a time for us to gather together, eat some great food, but also kind of live life together. So if you're looking for a life group, you'll find this blue sheet in your bulletins. Pull it out, take a look at it, find a life group that's near you, or maybe you find somebody that's not near you, but hey, you have a relationship with them. That'd be awesome. We'd love for you to plug in because we truly believe here that life together is better. That we can live it together when you know, it's better when we're together, I think is what I said. Isn't it right? Isn't that what it says on there? Life together is better. Yep, sure enough, good. I had the phrase. I knew it. So that's happening there. Don't forget, there's lots of other things going on in your bulletin this week. Youth are still going on. Wednesday nights are still happening. I know that you guys are going through the book of Acts, I think, still on Wednesday nights with the adults in here. Youth are still going on upstairs. It's a great opportunity to just come and kind of get recharged during the middle of the week. I enjoy Wednesday nights because it helps me kind of get through the rest of the week. Thursday and Friday sometimes are really great days, but Wednesday night I always look forward to. So if you're not doing anything, we'd love to have you come and join us there.
Great. Thanks, Ryan. Next is this. Oh, that's really loud. There we go. Thank you very much. This is an air. This little insert, G4J, Grace for Your Journey. That's a ministry that the Lord's really led me to start about 2.5 years ago. Robin was a big influence in that. Not going to give you the full commercial, but look at it. If you're willing to pray for me, please fill that out and say, check the box, we'll pray for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You'll be getting emails and stuff coming up to let you know how to pray. If you're willing to help with social media. Now, if you're not social media adept, that probably wouldn't apply to you. But if you're on Facebook and all that kind of stuff often, we need people to push information out. If you're willing to do that, check the box. If you can give monthly, that helps us pay our bills and do what we need to do. That would be awesome. But we encourage you to pray about that anyways and love to have you help. Stand with me if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll be here next week. Moving toward that blessed life, and I know you want that blessed life. Other people want that blessed life. Bring them with you, and we'll just trust God to do big things. Well, Lord, we love you, and we thank you for today. And Father, it's hard to let go of the things of this world because we see it, we taste it, we touch it, we feel it, we define ourselves by it. And Lord, we believe we own everything in our sphere of influence. And Father, that is a lie from hell. It just isn't true. It's given to us by your grace because you're generous. So help us, Father, to let go of that and to step into the blessed life, the real life, the life, God, that you're calling us to. May the spirit of poverty be broken. May the poverty mindset be broken. Lord, help us to walk free. Jesus, as you have set us free. And Father, please help us to take those steps that are needed to be the church and the people you want us to be. And now, Lord, I pray for everyone in this room that you would give them the greatest week of their life. Father, I pray their health will be perfect, their job situation will be perfect, their family, relational situations will be perfect. Father, bring alignment into their life with your will. Father, bless them now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Bring somebody with you. It'll be fun, I promise. No tasers. No guilt. No shame. I'm just talking because I want to. The king and the beggar. And Wayne hasn't turned me off. We all got a sickness, a terminal condition. We medicate it, but the pain won't go away. See the eyes of a million faces, looking for it in a million places. Only one can save us, Jesus. You.